to see the ark. And that ark and the way it was carved, it said that was not done by Jewish craftsmen. And it resembles greatly types of altars or naves or niches that are found in non-Jewish houses of worship. Now, the Muranos brought that with them. And they also brought certain melodies, tunes, which became part and parcel of Italian and Sephardic Jewish tradition, even though they are not originally Jewish in origin. There is a man on WQXR by the name of Carl Haas, who says a shiur every day in music. And one of the shiurim that he had was every time around the High Holy Days, he devotes, I don't think he's Jewish himself, I'm sure he is, but he devotes a number of programs to Jewish music, to liturgical music, to cantorial music. So he had comparisons of church music of the 16th century to Jewish music of the 16th century. And it is frightening. You don't know who copied from whom, but I would take a guess. Because there, unfortunately, there really is no such thing as Jewish music, WEVD notwithstanding. But Jewish music is a reflection of the society and the times and where it's at. But if you'll hear that, you'll see that the Muranos brought that over, lock, stock, and barrel, and they put Jewish tefillahs to church music, and it became part of the tradition in such a way that's the way Italian Jewry, that was their tradition, was their traditional tune. As for instance, in our synagogues, if the Chazan would not sing Kol Nidre to the traditional tune, or if he would not sing the Kaddish on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to the traditional tune, or any Neilah or any of the other famous prayers that we already associate the tune with, so the audience would rise en masse to protest. Well, that's what happened there, but the tune was not Jewish. The tunes were taken from non-Jewish sources. But that's what happened. I mean, that's the exile. Yeah, we have a lot of baggage with us, and not all the baggage is ours. I was once at the baggage counter here in Newark, coming off a plane, and there was a guy that took off like six bags, of which two of them were not his. And the guy, and he started to wheel them out with the porter, and the guy whose two bags were there, he all of a sudden he spotted him, and he started hollering, and he ran over, and they took the two bags off. So he said to him, he said, "Why'd you take my bags?" He says, he says, "I thought I bought the whole set of luggage, you know." So we have a whole set of luggage, and not all of it is ours. But since we are very careful not to throw out the baby with the bathwater, so we rather carry around a lot of bathwater with us. Because once you start fixing it and adjusting it and making it less and doing it correctly, so then before you know it, the whole thing is gone. I've been told that the largest Reform temple today in Cleveland, which is even beyond women rabbis, its first change when it was founded 100 and some years ago was that it removed the first prayer of the Yikum Purkan from the liturgy, because that Yikum Purkan is a prayer for the Babylonian exile arch and for his judges, etc., none of whom have existed for 1,000 years. But when you start cutting up the sitter, even when you're right the first time, the binding falls apart. Eventually you end up with nothing. You end up with a prayer for the West Virginia coal miners. But you don't end up with anything Jewish anymore.